Okay, so let me just begin with what I would call a little bit of a disclaimer, which is that there's something always a little bit delicate about discussing Masechta Gittin and the topic of Gerushin in general. So let me just make it very clear that not only do I personally carry no judgment, you know, this is really in the ballpark of everybody has their own situation in life. Nobody is bechadri chadarim with anybody else. And we talk about these issues. You know, we could say Torah hiva lo mod ani tzarech. It's a very beautiful masechta in many different ways. And I'm going to try to talk tonight about what I think really makes it particularly beautiful. But undoubtedly for people who've either gone through this themselves or, you know, grew up in that kind of a situation, or, you know, had children go through that, it's obviously a very emotional kind of a thing. We would be remiss if we didn't mention that at the outset, to say that everything is said with a great degree of respect and absolutely no judgment on any specific situation or in general. It's not just me personally, but like I say, I don't think anybody has the right, only the bochen klayu salev, like everything else in religious life. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in a position to judge. So I really have 3 points that I want to get across tonight. The first is really what a Sefer Krisus, as the Torah calls it, or a get is. Okay, that's a very important point, and we're going to cover that in short order. But I want to, as is the whole notion of the Hakdam Mashir, to give people an idea to work with. You're going to be starting the new Masechta. And the get is one of the most specialized instruments in all of halacha, and it's deliberately so. And there's really a very simple idea that you have to carry to understand what is the goal that the halacha has in mind. There are a lot of different pieces. We'll see the Rambam is very famous beginning to Hilchos Gerushin right off the bat. That's point number one. The second is the heart of this year. And the heart of the shir is dedicated to under which circumstances is it appropriate to pursue the path of Gerushin. This is the famous coda to Masechta Gittin. About this, I didn't hear it from him, obviously, I guess, you know, much to my regret. But I remember my third year in Rav Rosenzweig's shir. So Rav Rosenzweig started out, we were learning Gittin that year. And he started out by saying that when he was in the Rav's shir, the Rav started out by saying that Masechta Gittin was written backwards. Masechta Gittin written backwards, meaning that the last daf tzadi, where we'll start, in some ways is really the beginning. When you think about not what is a get, but when would be appropriate to head down the path of Gerushin as opposed to continuing on in the path of Kiddushin and Nisuin. And that, I think, has an enormous amount to offer us in terms of understanding what Yahadus intended the institution of Gerushin to be. And then the third point, because I want to discuss, and I think it's important to discuss, or at least to touch upon, obviously not comprehensively, but at least schematically, the issues of Aguna. Okay, that I think is very important to understand. I don't think Bizman Hazeh, maybe not ever, but I don't think it was ever possible in my lifetime. It could be that there was a time, but I'm not sure, where it's possible to talk about the institution of Gerushin, of a Sefer Krisus, without acknowledging the challenge that builds into the system. You have bad actors in the world in general. You have, unfortunately, bad actors in Yiddishkeit. And, of course, this is something that no community is immune to, and we all have a responsibility to try to understand. So I want to spend the last few minutes that we have tonight touching on some of those topics as they relate to Aguna to try to conceptualize or to frame what Chazal's perspective was about this. So let's begin where we said we would, which is the issue of what is a get. Okay, so I'm going to give people an expression to remember, and if you can carry this idea with you, you'll be like, not on first base, somewhere between second and third base, in the good sense. I don't want to, you know, maybe on third base, you know, in terms of your understanding, which is the expression that Chazal themselves use, davar hakores beino levena. It's four words, okay, but it's really two ideas in one. That it's a davar hakores, that there are no loose ends, there's no ambiguity, there's no sense of, I'm not sure where we're holding in terms of this. It's designed to be a davar hakores, total and final. Beino levena, that is to say, it's personal and targeted. Okay, so if you take a look at the Rambam, this is the very beginning of Hilchos Gerushin in the Rambam's ineffable genius, he was able to get this across right at the beginning in the following way. Okay, so the Rambam says the only way that a woman could be divorced is through a ksav that reaches her. In other words, it has to be through this very formalized process, and that clarity is critical, and we call that a get. These are the 10 halachos of Gerishin Min HaTorah, and you'll see that all of them relate to these four words. Davar HaKores, Beino Levena. Everything else the Rambam says is a rabbinic expansion, what the Rambam likes to call me, Divrei Sofrim, a famous expression in the Rambam. But these are the 10 that are Min HaTorah. Ve'elu hein, Shelo Yigarish HaIsh, Ela Biritzono. Okay, we're going to talk about that to the end, that it has to be through the man's ratzon, that he has to really want to terminate this. Number two, Sheigarish b'ksav lo b'dvar acher. There's a million different ways that you could, you know, that you could imagine this process going on. You know, like you go to a ball game and they say, I want everybody to look up, and some guy has like a Piper Cub fly by, and you know, the plane makes clouds in the air and says, you know, Martha, will you marry me, right? So you could imagine the opposite scenario, you know, everybody please direct their attention, and he has a plane fly by and says, you know, it's over. Doesn't work, okay? It has to be a very specific method. This is not an opportunity for people to demonstrate their creativity, their ingenuity. There are other such opportunities in life, but this is not one of those opportunities. Sheigarish b'ksav lo b'dvar acher. So again, it's a standardized, it's something where we could go anywhere in the halachic world, from North America to the Far East, and everybody understands, okay? The clarity is the coin of the realm here. V'shia inin aksav shegirsha v'yisira mikinyano, that the subject matter, the text, obviously there are different neschaos, Ashkenazic, Svardic, the Temanim, there are different ways of formulating this, but that the basic gist of it has to be the termination of what was the Kenyan Ishus. Number four, Vishay Yinanu Davra Kores Beino Levena. Okay, that's the expression I gave you. Five, She Nichtav Lishma, targeted Beino Levena. It has to be produced specifically for her. This is not an area where, you know, you want to be able to go to some kind of Judaica house and say, could you pull it off the shelf for me? We'll explain why specifically that is, but it has to be targeted to unravel a particular union. That the ksiva is very, very important. And after you're done with the ksiva, the only thing that has to be achieved is, as the pasuk says, v'chasala sefer krisos v'nasan v'yada sheyit nehula. He asked us to give it to her. V'sheyit nehula b'fnei edim. This is what we call the Ede Mesira. There's a huge, huge machlokas, maybe the most famous machlokas in the Masechta, is Ede Mesira karti, Ede Chasima karti. If you only know the first halach on the Rambam, you already know how the Rambam paskins, because the Rambam says, Sheit Neula Bifnei Edim, right? The Ede Mesira, that's the dispositive element. V'sheit Neula B'Torah's Gerishin, that he's giving it to her not as a way of severing her from some employment opportunity that she thought she had, not as a way of cutting out her insurance, not as a way of taking away her ksuva, or anything else that you might imagine, that he's giving it to her, as we say, b'soras gerishin, without any ambiguity. That he has to deliver it, or his agent delivers it. We can't have any kind of a third party who's not representing the Baal deliver it. Shar hadvarim shebeget, there are a lot of important things to learn besides this, kigon hazman, v'chasima sa'edim. Notice this is where the Rambam references the Edei Chasima. V'chayotze behen akol midivrei sofrim. That's all on some level derabanan. Edei misira karati, davar hakores, beino levena. Now, take a look at the psukim. The psukim are going to be a very important point of departure for our second, and again, this is the heart of our discussion tonight, is when is it appropriate for us to contemplate triggering or catalyzing this process? The Rambam said, of course, it's biritzon ha'ish, but what does the Torah have to say about that? So the psukim are as follows. Kikach ishi shov ve'alav ve'yayim lo simtza chen be'inav. Lo simtza chen be'inav means that he's not satisfied for whatever reason. That's number one. Number two, kimatza ba'er vazdavar. He finds that there's some impropriety. Now, again, what the relationship between number one and number two, lo simtza chen be'inav and kimatza ba'er vazdavar, that's going to be the heart of this year. V'chasav la'sev v'krisos v'nasan biyada. Vishilcha mibeso. Now, this is an interesting expression. Right? V'shulcha mibeso, we know what it means, v'chasav la'sefer krisus. We know what it means, v'nasan biyada. So v'shulcha mibeso, right? He has to irrevocably send her out of the house. So the Netziv, if you take a look at in the third sort, it's Naimak Davar, so the Netziv says that there's a remez in this word, v'shulcha mibeso, to a dimension of gerushin that perhaps we don't sufficiently appreciate. Mizela manu diesh gerushin machma shehirotza bekach. Shechoshashash le'igun o le'ibum v'chalitza v'chadome al zekziv v'shulcha haynu l'nafsha uritzona. That sometimes it's appropriate to initiate the process of gerushin, not because necessarily it's what he would have wanted, though of course he has to assent to it, but it's because what she thinks is the right thing for her at this stage. Let's say she's concerned, the most obvious case would be the Sefer Krisos of the Chayale Beis David, right? About an Aguna situation, right? So she wants to make sure that she's not going to fall into that horrible situation, and the Torah proves that sometimes that's appropriate. So already, even in the psukim themselves, the Netziv thinks that there's an indication of more bilateralism than people sometimes are aware. The Torah goes on from there, and the Torah speaks about the Isser of Machzer Grushaso, lo yuchal bala harishon, lashuv lakachta, achrei asheru tamaki, soivahi lifnei Hashem, lo sachti esarat asher Hashem lakecha nosein lecha nachal lirishta. We will get back to the role of Machzer Grushaso, and what we might be able to learn from that. So, as I noted at the beginning, the Rav apparently said to the Shir, as I heard from my Rabbi, from Rav Rosenzweig, that Gittin was written backwards. So let's take a look at the famous three-way machlokas. Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, how do we negotiate what seems to be two very different ideas about when it's appropriate to use the path of Gerushin? Again, the Torah said, Simtzachain Beinav, and then Kimatza Ba'er Vazdavar. Those are two very different things on its face. So the Mishnah says, Beis Shammai Omer Le'igarish Adam Es Yishto, Elim Kein Matza Ba'dvar Erva, Shenemar Kimatza Ba'er Vazdavar. So Beis Shammai's whole approach, as we'll see, is based on the idea that there's really no such thing as a discretionary get. If you're giving a get, it's because really you have to give a get because it's already in the category of an Isser Labal, Isser Laboel, that there's something that went wrong, something maybe that's approaching that, but basically you have to do it. Beis Hillel Omrim, Afilu Higdicha Tavshilo, Shenemar Ki Matza Ba'er Vazdavar. And Beis Hillel very famously say that even if she burns dinner, right, this has led to, I guess, more bad jokes than maybe any other line in all of Shisha Sitve Mishnah. Like, the pressure, obviously seems like it's really on. But what's, I think, very, very obvious here is, as Rabbi Yisrael Lifshitz points out in the Parash Yochin, right, Yochin Boaz, he says, obviously it doesn't mean that, Beis Hillel walked around. This is Beis Hillel, about whom the Gemara said, Nochin Ve'aluvin, this is the Beis Hillel who we look to as the paragons of Ben Adam L'Chavero. So what this can't possibly mean is that this is like, divorce for cause, what they call in the secular law. Like, you probably the judge, and the judge wants to know, like, why are you guys calling it quits? And he says, Tuesday, May 10th, chicken was burnt, and, that's why we're here. We pass in like Beis Hillel. That can't be. So the Yachin says, what does it mean? It means that the marriage has broken down to the point where they're doing petty things despite each other. So she's burning dinner as a way of sticking it to him because she's, interested in antagonizing him. So we're going to come back to that idea because yesh devarim bego, there's a lot more that meets the eye here, but why that it would be appropriate to use gerushin in such a situation. So Rabbi Kiva says something which on its face seems, again, very difficult to understand. Rabbi Kiva over afilu matza acharas nahim enosh enemar v'ayoyim mosim tzachein be'enav. So I don't think that, if you interpret Rabbi Kiva literally, it says, oh, well, he could do whatever he wants, even if he found somebody, whatever, is younger or prettier or whatever, it's hard to even say the words. So that's a cause for gerushin. So, it seems a little bit strange to us. Or Rabbi Kiva, was the one who gave maybe the most romantic comment in all of Shas, right? Shaliv v'shalachem shalah. The idea of a long-term relationship was not foreign to him. All of a sudden, Rabbi Kiva is saying, yeah, trade her in. Enough years have gone by. So that seems impossible. So, both Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva are Omer Darsheni. Like, what exactly could this possibly mean? Matza Cheres Nai Hemena. It can't be that that's really the Torah's aspiration for us to try to cultivate. So the Gemara says the following. Tani Omer Beis Hillel Veishamai V'lo Kvar Nemar Davar. It says Ervas Davar. So Omer Lam Veishamai V'lo Kvar Nemar Ervas. Ervas means Erva. So Amar Lam Beis Hillel, Im Nemar Ervas, Lo Nemar Davar, you say Omer Mishum Erva Teitzei, Mishum Davar Lo Seitzei. V'kach Nemar Davar, meaning you have some kind of a broader application than just the situation of Gilei Arayos. V'ilu Nemar Davar, V'lo Nemar Erva, you say Omer Mishum Davar Tinasei La'acher, Mishum Erva Lo Sinasei La'acher, V'kach Nemar Ervas. Very interesting idea, is that if it had said Davar and hadn't said Ervas, I would have thought that if it was just a davar, something that got in the way of the marriage continuing, so she's eligible to marry somebody else. But if she was already unfaithful, you know, she wasn't behaving properly in the first marriage, l'chora, it would be very sensible for the Torah to say that she shouldn't get married to somebody else. So why does she have to bring her troubles into somebody else's life? So that's the chiddush of Ervas. Beis Shammai, hai davar mayav dilei. If Beis Shammai says the only Hechi Timsi for Gerishin is essentially Arayus. So what is the Davar? So Nemar Kan Davar, Nemar Lahalan Davar, Al Pishnei Edim, Al Pishlosh Edim, Yakum Davar, Malahalan Bishnei Edim, Afkan Bishnei Edim. So a critical role for Edim in establishing the Ervas Davar. Okay, that we know that this is, you know, not just, you know, Isurin in general, but this is something which is going to terminate the marriage. So two Edim. So Hachem Rabbi Kiba Omer, Avilamatza Chares Maikam Bifugi, the Reish Lakish, Dom Reish Lakish, the Sugit beginning of Rosh Hashanah, Kimishamesh Barba Lashonos, Idilma Lodaha, Beshame Savri, Vayayim Losim Tzachain Beinav, Kimatza Baervas Davar, Deha, Matza Baervas Davar. So what Beshame thinks is going on over here is that what appear to be two different clauses in the Chumash really are one. It says, Vayayim Losim Tzachain Beinav, why was he upset with her? For one reason, right, because of the Ervas Davar. Deha, ki mishamish bidal l'shonos, the ki matzah by Ervas Davar means that that was what was bothering him. And justly so. Rabbi Kiva Savar, ki matzah by Ervas Davar, inami, right, he's saying the ki is e, matzah by Ervas Davar. It means that imlo simtzachein beinav, he's not happy with her, he found somebody else, or there was an Ervas Davar. Some of their papala ravalo matzah balo ervalo davar mahu. So let's say there was no reason, no good reason, nothing at all. There wasn't an erva, there wasn't anything. So Amar Lei, very, very important line. Midigali Rachmana, this is now the second page, if you have the printouts. Gabi Ones, lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav. So the situation where lo aleinu, a man assaults a woman, so she doesn't have to marry him, but if she wants to, because she's afraid of what her prospects will be, so then he's not allowed. He has no right to divorce her because he has to be responsible for her well-being. Remember, in a society where she wasn't going to have any means of supporting herself. Fine. So he doesn't have the right to divorce. So kol yamav ba'amud v'hechzer kai, that if he would divorce her, right, then we say, i'avid lo mahani, so they're by definition stuck together. So also the gali rachmana, that's a unique situation, that's an anomalous situation. Avahacham ad avid avad. So here, even if it was the wrong thing to do, so b'di'avid, it's mo'il, it works, the divorce takes hold. So am l'risharshi l'rava, im libo l'garisha, this is going to be one of the most important lines that we see tonight, that this is what they call in the Gemara Nedarim, daf chaf, b'nei gerusha salev, very sad situation, that really, as far as he's concerned, the marriage is no longer really a viable marriage, but they haven't pulled the trigger yet, v'hi yoshev es tachta, v'misham shasu, mahu, kari li al sechra shal rea charov, hu yoshev levetach itach. It's a terrible thing. And this is really a very significant problem, right? She is proceeding in this marriage as if it's on stable footing, and it's very, very far from that. So the Gemara is obviously indicating that if a person is already in a place where he does not think things are sustainable, and for whatever reason he's not doing it, even for noble reasons, he thinks it's the right thing to do, al pi halacha, it's not acceptable. Sometimes it comes up that people will say, indeed, you know, we've already decided, but for the reasons X, Y, or Z. So as I said at the beginning, it's very delicate, you know, and it has to be done with tremendous precision and the like. But it has to be communicated in that situation. And al pi halacha, It's not a sustainable union. That's considered grushas halev. If you've really already decided, people have doubts. That's not what we're talking about. But that can be a very serious halachic issue, and that's what the Gemara is referring to here. And more on that later. So Tanya Reb Meir Omer, Kishem Shadeos Meichel Kach Deos Benashim Yesh Chadam Shazuv Nofel Esol Choso Vizarko Veno Shoseo Izoy Midas Papas Ben Yehuda Sheino Bifnei Yishto Viyotze. So Gemara says, "Imnei Adam Saka Daitachiru." That would be a bridge too far. Alav Makom Shebnei Adam Rochtzin Zo Mitzvah Min Atar LeGarisha Shenemar Ki Matzah Be'Ervas Davar. So again, the Gemara is a very insightful metaphor. It says, people are so different in the world, and people's tolerance for different kinds of things that other people would find inconceivable is really just that. So the Gemara gives a three-way mashal. It says, look, you have a person, a fly flies into their cup. So the average person will shoo the fly away, and they'll drink whatever was there. That's sort of the average person. Then you have a person, the fly comes into the cup, and they'll never drink from it again. They'll say, I'll get malaria, I'll get, dengue fever or something. There's some people who are a little bit more zealous like that. And then you have some people who are prepared to drink the fly. They're not worried. So what's the metaphor? It says the average person is totally comfortable with their wife having normal relationships with their family. Unhealthy people, you have a situation where they can't tolerate that she would speak to anybody. They lock her in the house, and Chazal assumed that that's a very bad thing. It's going to lead to very bad outcomes. And then all the way on the other end of the ledger, you have people who are perhaps overly permissive and tolerant, and they have no standards, and as far as they're concerned, anything goes, and Chazal are critical of that as well. That then would be a mitzvah min hatorah legarsha. So I come back to this this idea as well. The Gemara is obviously developing the beginning of situations where it would be appropriate, not just again l'shitas beis shammai, where there was an actual erva that we know about, and that essentially that there's an iser labal al pishnei edim, but there's behavior which is so untoward that proceed with the marriage would seem to be what we would call a chuko tlula. It would be an embarrassment. It would be a joke. Because, essentially she's behaving in a flagrant way vis-a-vis the marriage. And then finally, maybe the most famous image, I took the title this year from here, in terms of Mizbeach Mori Dmaos, Kisane Shalach, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imsnesa Shalach, Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Sanoi Mishalayach, that the one who divorces is despised, or Rabbi Yehuda says that if you, let's put it nicely, no longer love her, you should divorce her. So the Gemara says, so v'lo pligi habizug rishon habizug sheni. Maybe it depends at what stage a person is at life. But when it comes to a zug rishon, amr blazer kol megarish ishta rishona afilo mizbeach morid alav demos. Shenemar v'zo shenis tasu says dimas mizbeach Hashem bechi v'anaka me eonod penos el hamincha v'lakachas v'son mircham v'artem amel ki Hashem heid. In other words, don't throw away a good thing if it's a much more tenuous kind of a relationship to begin with. So maybe we'll look at things a little bit differently. People are maybe at a different stage. But again, this shouldn't be taken as a categorical. I remember in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, learning with one of the Rashi Yeshiva, this Gemara, we were talking about in Yanei Yishos and Gerishin, and he said that when he was in yeshiva, so this is now going back, he was not a young man then, he's not a young man now, so going back to the 30s, he said that, his rebbeim told him, sometimes it's tears of joy. Mizbeach morid alav demos doesn't necessarily mean that it's always the wrong thing, okay? You have to know. So the Meiri comments on the Gemara, something which is very, very, very important, that we should understand that even though Me'ikar hadin, gerishin can be bal karcha, right? As the Rambam says, it has to be b'ratzon abal. She doesn't necessarily have to want that outcome, right? The Meiri says, "Magarish below siba ru'uya l'kach." The Meiri uses absolutely tenacious language. Sanoi mishukatz bituav. A person who divorces without a good reason for doing so, these are not compliments. Sanoi mishukatz bituav. You can translate on your own. Kvar hecharimu rashi yeshiva gdolei rabbanim izman kadam al kol mi sheigarish al karcha. Again, this is like, you know, Mesira. But that was, if there was any stigma in Jewish communities throughout the Middle Ages, it was to be a masur, right? So here what we're saying is that they would tell the government about it, and the government would really have no rachmanas, can you imagine? Liknos kol megari shelo be'askamas ta'isho be'askamas tu ve'ir knas gadol kedei shelo ya'pesach pasuach l'chol haba. So we know today the way that this, you know, comes down, obviously after, you know, the Cheder Rabbeinu Gershom, is what we call the heter me'er rabbanim, that if it's really an impossible situation and there are 100 rabbanim in 3 different localities that, you know, think that this is an appropriate thing to do, so then that would be an acceptable move. But here too, you know, those of us who are either Talmidim or Talmidim of the Rav had a Masora never to sign the Heter Meir Rabbanim for a variety of different reasons. Reb Chaim never signed the Heter Meir Rabbanim. That this idea that, okay, you know, Minat Torah, there's Gerish and Baal Karcha, but if for whatever reason there isn't that bilateralism, then we're very, very concerned about it. We're not just concerned about it in a very local way in terms of this particular marriage, though, of course, we are concerned about that, but it's exactly what the Meiri says. Shelo ye pesach pasuach l'chol haba. It's going to undermine the entire, to use a phrase that I'll use a lot over the next 15 minutes, kedushas isha. So there's a beautiful expression. Whenever I'm a Masadar Kiddushin for my Talmidim, I try to emphasize to them, kehilchos guvrin yehudayin, the way that a Jewish man behaves. A mensch, in other words, okay? So there's a way to behave, there's a way not to behave. So we don't ever want to give off the impression that behavior which is totally unjustified is justified. And so, you know, they pulled out all the stops. The Meiri's writing in Provence, obviously in the 13th century, that they would tell the government about it and create the maximum incentive structure, you know, against doing this kind of a thing if it wasn't warranted. So, yeah, David, go ahead.
By the time of the Meiri, wasn't there already a takana against Yerushim?
Right. So that's a big that's a very big question. Exactly. You know, how did it spread through different communities in Ashkenaz? And but you see here the Gedolei Harabanim is Mankadim. It seems to be some kind of an allusion to the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. But in terms of what the teeth of, you know, what the teeth was, so the teeth would be like, you know, telling the government about it would be a pretty frightening thing to do, you know, for the Jewish community in the Middle Ages. Okay, so, you know, one perspective is the perspective of the Sefer Achinuch about when we would apply Gerushin, and he says the following. This is in the sixth source, the second paragraph. And I acknowledge it might be a little bit jarring to people, but I'd like to try to use it at least as a foil to help us understand what I'd like to develop. Mishar Shei HaMitzvah, Lefi She'isha Nivras Le'ezer La'adam. If you read Parshas Bereishis, you'll see Ezer Kinecto. V'hilo ke'echad mikleich chemdaso. Chinyin she'amr zichron levrach en ha'isha karesas bris elamisha aso akli. V'achar she'kein, haya meritzonu baruchu she'kol zman she'yakutz nafsho b'chli hazeh she'yotzi enemy beiso. That there is a directionality in the relationship, and because of that directionality, if he, the Baal, sees fit, just like he can divest himself of any kli, even this kli, which is the kli chemda, the most precious one of all, right? He can decide that he no longer wants it, and he can terminate his relationship with her. That's basil. This isn't, you know, just like, you know, a laptop. This is a human being. Right, a human being, etzalim elokim in her own right. You should only do it if you have to do it. It's not a situation, unless again you're talking about a situation where he was ma'anes or to begin with, where lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav kasher yasuk tzas mina umos. Clearly referencing here the Catholic tradition right? Where marriage is a sacrament, as they say, and therefore it's inviolate, and like any sacrament in Catholicism. This is a very important idea. Sheichrasu bris, imaisha bris chazaka ad sheol tachtis, as they say in English, unto death do we part, right? So he says that's foreign to us. Velo sira la peridim tasalena vazimba vesachr of kolasher babayis, vitavir ba'esh kolasher lo, migadish v'ad kama v'ad karam zayas. And he says that can create an absolutely intolerable situation where there's absolutely no love left in the marriage, but there's also no exit. By definition, there's no exit. And then you have, instead of mechayel el chayel, you have mechurva el churva in terms of the relationship and in terms of the behavior that's likely going to precipitate. And from there, the Sefer HaChinuch says a number of other interesting things about the process of writing down a get. He says, number one, that gives us clarity, as we spoke about before. Number two, he says, hopefully in the process, right, people will calm down unless they really want to go through with it. And of course, that we know for a Kohen, you have a get, which is a kafel, get meshulash, right, which is an even longer process to write because he's not going to be able to ever remarry her based on the principle of machzir grushas. So, again,
Rabbi?
Yeah, Aaron, go ahead.
Two things. What was the reluctance of the Rav and Rav Chaim and, not to invoke the, Takonas Meir Rabbanim?
Heter Meir Rabbanim, right. So it's
Heter
Meir Rabbanim. So I think that there were a couple of different motivating factors. And I don't want to speculate too much about it, but I think that the two issues that I feel comfortable saying, and if anybody spoke to the Rav about it, they should be the ones told for. I think number one is very often when it comes to a Heter Meir Rabbanim, not all 100, I'm putting this generously, know the pratim of the case equally. Okay, and there's a very great reluctance to sign on to something in the Brisker tradition that you don't know backwards and forwards. That's number one. Number two, I think there's another issue, which is not just not being familiar with the Pratim, but there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin which talks about the Anshe Yerushalayim, and it says that it would never be Chosei Manashtar unless they knew every other person who was Chosei Manashtar. I've thought to myself many times that this is probably part of the consideration, that it's very hard to know 99 other rabbis with great intimacy, and there can be a range. There can be a range, and 100 is a large number. The 100.
But was it ever invoked, the Heter Meir Rabbanim?
Sure.
So there are instances where you can achieve that level. So I
was pointing out the Rav as an exception, not the rule.
Right. Right.
I was just saying that you know, those who have that Kabbalah are not going to be running to get involved in such a thing. Not that the Rav didn't try to abolish the institution, but he personally didn't want to take responsibility for that kind of a situation. But I'm sure there are people who spoke to him about it, you know.
But we today, where we know there's such cruelty being foisted on women. And again,
remember, just to clarify again, the Heter Meir Rabbanim only allows a man to remarry. The Heter Meir Rabbanim will cover, will override the Ein Isha Miskareshes Bal Karcha.
Right. So from the other side.
Yeah. Right. So.
All right. I know you're going to talk about Aguna later.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll definitely get to Aguna.
One other thing earlier, Higdicha Havshilo doesn't necessarily mean that she's doing it for spite, but it could just simply be that, as you, I think you were saying, that even little nits become a source of friction, and that's a telltale sign that the marriage is deteriorating.
Oh, okay, good. So that's what we call the approach, that this isn't the Siba, this isn't the reason for divorce, this is a Simen. If you're really prepared to go to 15 rounds, you know, because you didn't like dinner, so you don't have to be like a marriage therapist to know that that's probably not a great sign in terms of the stability of the union, yeah, for sure. Okay, so that's where I wanted to go. So, yeah, of course. So So one of the ideas that Rav Rosenzweig, when we were learning it and wanted to argue, and here Arjun is trying to develop the point and the margins of what he said, was that Gerushin, apropos this comment, that the Sefer HaChinuch, in a way, preserves Kedushas Ishus. It's necessary. How so? Because if you have a situation where there's literally no exit, so then what can happen is you could have many, many, many marriages where it's been years, decades, lo aleinu, since there was any sense of investment, any sense of emotional bonding, and you have a terrible cheapening of the institution of marriage, right? And the Sefer HaChinuch did allude to that as a possibility. One of the points that Rosenzweig made in that presentation is the primacy here in terms of the psukim of the topic of machzir grushaso. Machzir grushaso is an iser that once a woman has had, she's been divorced from a particular man, obviously Cohen, it's off the table because you can't marry any grusha, his or anybody else's. But the Yisrael, if she didn't get involved with anybody else in terms of kiddushin, he can remarry her. So the Ramban explains, you have this in the seventh source, so what's the nature of the iser machzir grushaso? He says the reason that there's an iser called machzir grushaso is that the Torah was very concerned about, you know, very flagrant kind of behavior, where you'd have people who would, you know, want to, you know, take a vacation essentially from their marriage, try something else out, and then get back together with their wives. So that's why the Torah cracked down on machzir grushaso. So this also seemed like a very strong indication that why does gerushin exist? To preserve kedushas ishus. Gerushin doesn't exist to denigrate kedushas ishus, hence the iser of machzir grushaso. So I wanted to add 3 points just to my Rebbe's malach. I think if you read the Gemara carefully like we did, you see that there are a couple of very, very clear indications that this is the proper framework to understand why the Torah permits gerushin. Remember we talked about grushas halev. That's a very strong indication that the Gemara is saying is that that's not the kind of ishus that we're looking to preserve. Okay, we're not talking about everybody, you know, experiences doubts at some point or another, whatever it is, or, you know, people go through rough patches, or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, in a situation where he is, you know, not involved emotionally at all anymore, so that is really a very serious breach of the Kedushas Ishus. And likewise, we saw in the next line in the Gemara, we talked about the Mashal regarding the Zvuv. So the Gemara says a situation where her behavior is totally inconsistent with, you know, Kedushas Ishus, that too is where we would consider the mitzvah min HaTorah L'Garusha, even though you couldn't get to a Beis Shammai standard. It wasn't an Ervas Davar in the sense of Al Pi Shnayim Edim, but she was, you know, behaving in a certain way, in a public way, that was very disrespectful to the marriage. We're just finishing up Sota, so we can understand that we can appreciate that. So that would be a second indication, I think, from the Gemara itself. The third indication, which I think is maybe the strongest, is that when you learn Gittin and you learn Kiddushin, so maybe the line that comes up more than any other line in terms of figuring out all the details of how these things work is what we call the Hekesh of Havaya Tietzia. It's a very strange thing. But the Gemara, just to give maybe the most famous example, the Gemara determines that you can be Mekadesh, a woman, not only through Bia and Kesa, but through a Shtar. So why is that true? So the Gemara develops a Hekesh and it says, oh, well, you use a Sefer Krisos when it comes to Gerushin, so it must be true for Gidushin. It's like Manyan Shemitah Yitzhar Sinai. What? But if you understand that Gerushin exists to further the interests of Kiddushin, all of a sudden it makes a lot of sense, right? That the mechanisms will be an extension of each other. There really is a deep existential relationship between Havaya Tietzia, between Kiddushin and Gerushin. So issue number one that we dealt with today is that a get is Davar HaKores Beino Levena. It's unambiguous, it's universal, it's standardized. We don't want any ambiguity. That would be a disaster, obviously. We try to figure out, is this person still married? Are they not still married? Chashash mamzeros. So it has to be very clear, and it's beino levena. The relationship was a personal relationship. Therefore, the termination of that relationship has to be personal. Lishma, as we said, the ksiva is lishma, the nesina is biyada. It has to be given to her along those lines. That's point number one. That's what a get is. Number two, when do we deploy it? Basically, we deploy it to preserve Kedushas Ishus, when the sanctity of the marriage no longer exists for any reason, and we're not blaming people, It's just that the marriage has run in a particular way, and the sanctity is not there, and we're approaching, you know, Grusha Salev type, you know, situations. And Aaron, I totally agree, right? If Hikticha Tav Shilo is going to be like, you know, a problem, that's a very clear indication that you're getting to that point. So Gerushin exists, not, God forbid, to throw her out on the curb. Remember the language of the Meiri. Person who divorces without cause is Sanoi Mishukats Mituav. I couldn't have chosen three more condemnatory terms. So it exists to preserve Kedushas Ishas in this marriage and institutionally. So let me just conclude the last 5 minutes that I have with a comment about Aguna. The price that we pay, al pi halacha, it was always an issue for having a system which is very clear, which is very standardized, which is very formalized, is bad actors, where there's clearly no Kedushas Ha'ishas, and there hasn't been for some time. We're not talking about they've had a rough week, or a rough 2 weeks, or a rough month. We're talking about a chaticha real diskabid, but in terms of zman, and it's time, and there's no two ways about it, and there's no reviving, you know, what was, and you have a bad actor. So the Rambam really makes 2 points about Aguna that I think are very critical to understand. Number one, he was very focused on the remarkable kulos that the Chachamim instituted regarding edus, mishum iguna. We know that in all capital matters, you need 2 edim, except for aguna, that you could establish the death of the husband through 1 witness, and not even a kosher witness at that, right? It's what we call edus isha. And the Rambam says that any thinking person is obviously going to have this question, like, well, what kind of game is this? Like, you know, in halachic epistemology, the way we establish halachic knowledge is with 2 witnesses. Like, how in the world can you get away with this? So the Rambam says the following, and I think this is a very critical perspective, and then to get to maybe the most famous line of the Rambam, and hopefully if we go into the Masechta with these 2 yediyos, it will help us put things in perspective. Right, in Eishas Ish, Be'edus Isho Evedo Shivcho Akum HaMasiach Hufitum, even a non-Jew who tells us that we saw that this person was dead, Ve'ed Mipi'ed, Ed Mipi'ed is hearsay in Halacha, the reason that we need 2 edim is because we're relying on them to establish facts. Okay? So the Rambam makes a very famous argument that the motivating factor when it came to Mishumi Iguna Ikilu Barabanan was what we call a Milsa David Aligluye. That it'd be really shocking for somebody to lie and say this guy is dead if he's still walking around somewhere, because, you know, it's going to destroy his credibility for the rest of his life. So where we're totally dependent and reliant on witnesses to establish facts is how in the world are we going to, you know otherwise? So, okay. But in a situation where, you know, him making it up would be particularly tendentious because the husband could walk in tomorrow. So the Torah thinks that there's credibility. The fika chikilu chacham medarizeh, ve'aminu bo erechar mipi shivcham v'aksav lo'dusha v'chakira k'dei shalo tisha'arna. But even with that, right, the Milsa David Aligluye, the Rambam doesn't run away from, because you can't. We wouldn't have done this in any area. It's not like in any Milsa David Aligluye, we just lower the standards and say you don't need 2 witnesses. Kiddush HaChodesh in its own way is a Milsa David Aligluye. You still need 2 witnesses. So he says, Kiddush Shaloti Sha'arna Benos Yisrael Agunos. There was always an enormous sensitivity, al pi halacha. You do whatever you can to get a woman out of the situation of being in Aguna. This story, which I cherish very much, the godless of Chacham Uvadia. So after the Yom Kippur War, Litzarenu, Ladavu Nafshenu, there were so many Agunas, thousands of Agunas, and Chacham Uvadia just cleared his schedule and devoted the next number of months of his life to being matir each and every one of them. And again, with all of the halachic integrity in the world and collecting the battle reports, collecting anybody who was there, they saw what happened, they saw, put everything together, not a single one was left, and this was his mission. Kedei shelo tisha'arna b'nos Yisrael agunos. Again, there are outer boundaries. You can't just drum up a kiddushei talus or afkenu. There have been, you know, irresponsible things, you know, in the course of halachic history, but we should be maximally motivated when it comes to agunos. The second point that the Rambam makes is actually much earlier in Hilchos Gerushin, where the Rambam wants to help us understand. In the end of the day, it has to come from the Baal. It has to be, you know, mipnei ritzon habaal. Meidach, we can do certain things to, let's say, encourage the Baal to draw certain conclusions about what's in his best interest. Okay, so is that not like a paradox? So the Rambam says he doesn't think it is. I mean, I did no sin shekoven osu legarish yishtov lo ratz legarish bezin shel yisov b'chol makom b'chol zman makin osad shiyomer rotzani v'yichtov aged v'hu get kosher. Right. So this is the famous idea of kofin osad shiyomer rotzani, and everybody wants to know, you know, if it was really rotzani, why is there kfiya? And if there's kfiya, how is it really rotzani? It's a fair question. So let's be honest, right? Unless he had done that, he wouldn't have given the get. So in what sense is it not a get meusa? So Levatel mitzvah lasos aveira v'huka ad she'asa davar shechayav asoso o ad she'nisrachik midavar asol asoso ein ze anas menu elahu anas atzmo b'dayto hara lefikach zeh she'ena rotsa legarish me'achar she'u rotsa lios mi'israel v'rotsu lasos kol mitzos u'lisrachik min averos v'yitzur she'tekafo v'kevan she'uka ad she'tashash yitzur v'amar rotsani Kevar Girish the Ritzono. So the Rambam develops a theory, which is a very fascinating idea, which is that within Klal Yisrael, we assume that people want to be in compliance with the mitzvos. Unfortunately, what the Rambam refers to as Mishet Kafo Yitzro Hara, that a person gets into a rut, basically, in life, and at a spite, malice, jealousy, whatever it is, a certain vindictive quality to a person, the person is behaving in a way which is keneged haTorah. And when that person is behaving in a way which is keneged haTorah, so our kfiya is to try to allow this person to overcome that rut, whatever it is, and that is the underlying theory of kofin osachi yomer rotsani. Why am I interested in this right now? Not to so much get into this question of kfiya and what, you know, is within the acceptable boundaries and, you know, what we mean today in terms of Archakos or Rebbeinu Tam. My point is the following. The Rambam, both in terms of the Eidos piece as well as in terms of the Kfiya piece, operates with one very simple assumption. The Torah is opposed to the idea of Aguna. Okay? It says, number one, the Torah is opposed to the idea of Aguna, and therefore the Chachamim refashioned all the principles of Eidos in light of that. Number two, the Torah is against the idea of aguna. So if this guy is being ma'agin his wife, that's connected to Torah, and we're going to do certain things to bring him back into line. So this is a critical point that the Rambam believed. The Rambam very strongly believed that any situation of aguna is a situation that the Torah could not possibly have wanted. Okay, and therefore, as a community, therefore, the Beis Din has a clear agenda, and the agenda is to resolve this situation, obviously within halachic parameters. That being said, it's not as if this situation is a neutral situation, not that the Torah is agnostic on the question of there being agunos in the world. So yes, are there very tragic situations where it's really very difficult? You know, I even remember this as a child. I don't know how old I was. As a school child, very young school child, when I found out about the case of Ran Arad, right? I mean, you know, there's some certain things. It's just, you know, incredibly, incredibly painful, you know, where, you know, so much is outside of our control and et cetera. But in general, in the community, you know, it's not as if, you know, if you have somebody who is being ma'agin his wife. He's not being held by Hezbollah or Iran, and it's very hard for us to figure out what happened. So we all have to make sure that this situation reaches a halachic resolution. So again, it has to be done properly, and it has to be done with proportionality and having mesunim b'din and everything that comes along with that. But the Rambam says the Torah is very clear, k'dei shelo tisha'arna b'nos Yisrael agunos, that we don't want in any which way a situation where a woman is tethered to a scenario where there is no ishus to speak of. And when we think about it, really, the three points that we made tonight are shlosha sheim achas. What's a get? We said it's a davar akores beino levena. When it's time for gerushin, however you determine that it's time for gerushin, as we'll get back to in a second, when it's time for gerushin, there has to be no ambiguity whatsoever. You have to walk away from there knowing they are not married anymore. Absolutely not. Now, when are we going to trigger the gerushin process? We're going to trigger it when the ishus has run its course. Now, that's going to be very different for different people and different circumstances, because people are different and people have different expectations and people live with different things, and there's not a one-size-fits-all. But where there's no kedushas ishus, it's not appropriate. That's what we call grusha salev, to continue on. And of course, in that situation, there should be a very clear resolution. And of course, the third point, as we said, is that the Torah has no toleration whatsoever for a scenario where a woman is being held captive because of the institution of gerushin. Remember, as we said, the institution of gerushin exists to preserve kedushas ishus. So what a perversion it is for people to use the institution of gerushin not to preserve kedushas ishus, but to debase it even further. Right? These people haven't seen each other for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. I don't even want to say the cases that go on. There's no ishus whatsoever to speak of. Oh, and but there's no get. The only reason that we have an institution of gerushin, as we explained, is to ensure that there should be kedushas ishus, to weaponize a get in such a way that it's not doing anything but further debasing kedushas ishus, is something which, of course, is fundamentally unacceptable, which is why the Rambam says the Torah went to great lengths to extirpate any situation of aguna from our midst, and anything that we can do, like Chacham Avadya took it on himself. That's what Adam Gadol does in such situations, to make sure shelo tisha'arna b'nos Yisrael agunos. We have an absolutely maximal motivation to address that issue and to ensure that there's no unnecessary tragedies. So again, as we said at the beginning, it's a very delicate area, but a very beautiful area of halacha insofar as gerushin really ensures the kedusha of all ishus. Imagine a situation like the Sefer HaChinuch said, where there is no exit and you have people who are certainly not deriving benefit, enjoyment, spirituality from being together, the opposite a million times over. So the Torah provided a method for us to make sure that doesn't happen to any situation of Isha. So hopefully we'll all be able, with this Hakdama, making some modest contribution, to enter into the Masechta and to appreciate how gerushin, as painful as a process it is for anybody to go through, even under the best of circumstances, how gerushin is an absolutely necessary halachic phenomenon to ensure that marriages that exist al taras hakodesh. Thank you very much.
Rabbi?
Aaron, let me give you the last word. Yes.